On traditional church calendars, today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. But here at Pacific United Methodist Church, today is the first Sunday of Latte. That is, the first Sunday of life without April, temporarily. Pastor April Heron has begun part one of her sabbatical, the first sabbatical of her career, actually, which includes 16 years here as shepherd of this flock. When she asked me to speak on this first Latte Sunday about the role of Sabbath in religions, I knew she had a sense of humor, because asking me to talk about the merits of rest is like picking Dracula to give a pep rally at the blood bank. I'm in a hurry to get things done. But you know, I guess Pastor April figured that since I'm a journalist, the least I could do would be to gather information and report back to you. And so I began my decaffeinated journey toward the Sabbath. In the beginning, God had rhythm. Now, if you don't believe me, read Genesis. It's easy to find. It's the first book in that thing you call the Bible. God's creation story goes on for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, God rested. And in so doing, created a rhythm of life for all to follow. Time off for good behavior. I'm not sure people got it right away back then, because if you read further into the Torah, the first 5 books of the Hebrew Scriptures, you'll find the book of Exodus, which includes the story of when the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt. There were these nasty locusts and frogs and things, and so they got their freedom. And they went into the wilderness, where they wandered for many, many years, led by a man who apparently had the same genetic resistance to asking directions that other men seem to have. But Moses was able to find his way up to the top of Mount Sinai by himself, where he came down with tablets filled with rules from God. We call them the Ten Commandments. And number 4 on that top 10 list, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. God apparently thought that if we got it in writing, we'd read the memo and follow it better. And perhaps that's why in Judaism, the religion of the Hebrews, you are likely to find the most codified of Sabbath observances. In Hebrew, it's called Shabbat, or Shabbos, the seventh day, which they define as starting on Friday at sundown and ending Saturday, just as the first star is spotted. On Friday evening, the Sabbath table is set with 2 candles, one to remember the Sabbath and the other to keep it holy. No later than 18 minutes before sundown, the woman of the household is supposed to light the candles, waving her hands over them to welcome the Sabbath. She covers her eyes and recites a blessing that begins, Baruch Atai Adonai Eloheinu. Blessed are you, Lord, our God. And as the candles continue to burn, they literally and metaphorically remind us of the boundary between the weekday and the Sabbath. Earlier we read part of Psalm 23, and Rabbi Harold Kushner wrote an entire book about the 15 lines that are in Psalm 23. He did it, he said, because this one short poem contains the power to teach us to think differently and therefore to act differently. When he gets to the line that you read, he restores my soul, Rabbi Kushner tells the story of a group of tourists on safari in Africa. They hired several native porters to carry the supplies. After 3 days, the porters told them they would have to stop and rest for a day. They were not tired, they told the tourists. But we have walked too far, too fast, and now we must wait for our souls to catch up with us. The world asks so much of us, Rabbi Kushner writes. We give ourselves so totally to our work, to the task of raising our family, to running a home, and to all of our volunteer commitments, that we often forget to take time to nourish our souls. Sometimes we all need to be reminded that we have to left our souls behind us, and we need to stop and let our souls catch up with us. Other religions have their own theologies of rest. In Islam, the main gathering time is midday on Friday, If you go to the Islamic Center of San Diego, then you'll be greeted with Salaam Alaikum, and they say back, Alaikum Salaam. Peace be with you, and peace be upon you too. They break from their work to pray quietly, to reflect on the weekly sermon, and worship as a community. It is not a full Sabbath day, but there is an Islamic poem that says something like this: a moment with God and a river changes its course. Time off for godly behavior. Buddhists embrace a philosophy called mindfulness. Be mindful of the present moment and be present in that moment. Mindfulness takes practice, which is why each week Deer Park Monastery near Escondido holds a day of mindfulness when the public may go up to learn and to practice. In the mornings, they begin with a mindfulness walk, step by step, as if in slow motion. There is no passing. There is no fast lane. Just heel and toe, heel and toe, feeling every movement and aware of every breath. Throughout the day, there are other exercises as well, and periodically, a bell will ring, and instantly, everyone freezes what they're doing, including being interviewed by a reporter. The bell reminds them to come back to that moment and reflect in silence where they are and who they are. Don't just do something, sit there. Christianity is the world's largest religion. Roughly 7 out of 10 Americans identify themselves as Christians, and its impact on culture is immeasurable. Yet we have become a society with a relentless emphasis on our success and our prosperity. Think about it. When you meet someone, what is one of the first things they ask of you? What do you do? We are a people impressed by what we do, how many hours we work, the tasks we juggle, the number of frequent flyer miles we have. We are dancing as fast as we can, and there is no sign of the music stopping. Even when you're in church, how many are thinking about what you've got to do next? Lunch to fix, grocery shopping to do, laundry, take the kids to practice, and am I going to get it all done before Desperate Housewives come on tonight? Maybe there's a reason there's no multitasking in the Bible. And there isn't, you know. Go into BibleGateway.com and do a word search. Zero hits for multitasking. Maybe you're thinking, Sandy, you've gone too far. The comparison is unfair. I mean, Jesus didn't have to contend with a Palm Pilot or a BlackBerry or a PDA or even a cell phone. Well, it seems to me that if someone can heal the sick and raise the dead, and my personal favorite, turn water into wine, that just maybe he could create a laptop miraculously if he really wanted one. Instead, when you do read the Bible, you are likely to find that when things were most frantic, Jesus did not multitask. Jesus went off to a garden and spent time alone with himself and his God. Time off for good behavior. Here in the 21st century, time is just another four-letter word. Even though Billy Graham reminds us that we all have the same minutes in the day, and the question is, how will we use them? Billy Graham's advice is this: teach each day as a gift from God. That made me think of my Aunt Linda, who not too long ago got a beautiful black leather jacket from her daughters as a birthday gift. She wears that jacket with such pride and care. How would it be if every time we opened up each day, we wore it with that same pride and care? Where would we go in it, and how would we treat it? Mr. Graham writes that some of us seem to have too little time, and some of us too much time. We are the most frantic generation in history and also the most entertaining. And that made me think of the comedian Robin Williams, who years ago used to joke that cocaine was God's way of telling us we made too much money. Well, pick up the list of TV shows that are popular today. American Idol, Survivor, The Apprentice, The Supernanny. I wonder if Robin Williams would suggest that reality shows are God's way of telling us we have too much time on our hands. In Little Falls, Minnesota, the Reverend David Stephenson of the First Lutheran Church led his congregation in a year-long study of keeping the Sabbath. Their mantra was this: Sabbath is a time of preparation at the beginning of the week, not a restoration from exhaustion at the end of the week. I was talking to Pastor Fran between services today, and we were talking about this whole time crunch that we're in, and it reminded me of a story I heard about a woman who was trying to find someone to visit in this rural community, and she didn't know where she was going. I guess she didn't have MapQuest. And so she was driving really fast, and she was running late, and a police officer pulled her over to give her a speeding ticket, and she said, "Oh, officer, I'm so sorry, but I'm lost." And he said, "Okay, let me get this right. You don't know where you're going, so you're speeding to get there faster." And Pastor Fran looked at me and said, "Yeah, and we call it sanity." Wayne Muller, who is the founder of the interfaith charity Bread for the Journey, pleads with us to renew the practice of a Sabbath keeping. He tells us, "Religious traditions agree on this. God does not want you to be exhausted. God wants you to be happy." He includes suggestions such as choose one common act, touching a doorknob, turning on a faucet, hearing a phone ring, and throughout the day, when that occurs, stop and take 3 silent breaths. Then go on. Or perhaps you can create a Sabbath box. Put your to-do list in it, your keys in it, your wallet in it. Just for now, let them go. If you don't have time for a Sabbath dinner, have a Sabbath cup of tea. Recently, I attended a memorial service for a former colleague of mine at the Union Tribune. You may recall him, Wayne Lockwood. He was one of our sports columnists for many, many years before he retired. On the cover of the program for his service was this verse from 2 Timothy. "I have fought a good fight, finished the race, kept the faith." It does not say that we won the fight, or that we finished first in the race, or got an award for keeping the Sabbath, or keeping the faith. Because life is not a competition. Life is a journey, not a destination. And along life's roadways, religions remind people they must remember to pull into the rest stops once in a while. Before she left, I asked April why she wanted to take a sabbatical. "I need some time to rest and catch up with myself," she told me. "I just want to be able to listen and engage the Spirit without having an agenda." Time, rest, catch up, listen, engage. Thousands of years after the birth of the world's great religions, here was a person who got it. A Sabbath, a day of rejuvenation and restoration, a sabbatical, a period of remission for reflecting, for listening, for catching up with yourself and your spirit. Time off for good behavior. God said it. Pastor April is role modeling it. How about we go and do likewise?